Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar, back with you for another week live on TSN 690 for the first time.
This is the first time, 690.
Hello, all the way out there to far-reaching lands that we haven't reached before. I'm Dave, that's Jay. We usually do this at night, so it's good to be back.
Now we're doing it in the morning, apparently.
I want to thank the National Football. Well, I want to thank God and my family, first of all.
Of course.
You know, when you win an award,
you just win a Grammy. Yeah.
You want to thank everybody. But especially on a night like tonight, I want to thank the National Football League for bringing me such a thrilling product for two consecutive weeks now. I've just been blown away by, I mean, forget about the teams, just these gods in zebra-colored suits blowing me away. What a mess. What an absolute mess. And I apologize to all of you who've been hearing this ad nauseum for 2 weeks, but this is a problem, and this needs to be fixed.
It wasn't pretty. It wasn't pretty, and there were a few games. There was one game I was—I can't even remember which game it was because I turned it off so quickly.
That's what I'm saying. It's hard to remember the games right now.
You know what I did, Dave? I switched over to the CFL. I switched over to the CFL because at least there was some momentum. The game was going on. There were these long— and for me, the NFL takes a long time to play their games anyway, and it gets kind of annoying at times. It's too much time in between plays, especially when they're running on a fourth down system. But, I mean, this is ridiculous. When you're switching over to CFL, you know you're in trouble.
They seem to have no control over their players.
Right. That seems to be a problem as well, obviously. That comes with respect from the players, which there doesn't seem to be any.
Man, you're so out of the baseball zone that you wouldn't even think to switch to a September playoff race game on a Sunday afternoon instead. Eh? You went CFL over MLB, like,
yeah, I was in football
wild card
mode.
Hunt.
I was in football mode, you know, and, you know, it's Sunday. I want to watch a little bit of football. I got up late enough, and, you know, watch a little bit of football, you know. And for any idiot who tells me, oh, well, how come, what about baseball? It's slow. Well, then you don't understand baseball. It's so clear, you know.
I was thinking that tonight, too.
And people put that against me, too.
All the football fans that knock baseball all the time for being boring.
Right.
I've never seen anything like tonight's first quarter.
Yeah.
I mean, we were on the phone trying to, you know, make the game a little more interesting. So we had a couple of side bets going, Mr. Farrar and I.
Right.
Trying to figure out what time we would be on air. I think the under won.
Yeah.
It was looking dire.
We're on the phone saying, what do we do? Do we just stay home? What do we do?
we re-air the Ellis Valentine interview.
Yeah. Well, that'll be just enough time to get us through to 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning.
No, but it is nice to be back at night. And to all of you who wrote and sent tweets and Facebook messages all summer long asking when we're getting back, we're here. So give us a shout tonight. 514-790-1690.
1690. Yeah. The advantage of changing from 990 to 690 is it's easy to change the signs. You know, just a couple of pieces of paper and a little bit of liquid paper, and all of a sudden nines can become sixes so easily.
Don't forget the highlighter. Is it same over here.
Yeah, the highlighter on the 1690.
Yeah, it's very clear. Do not want to call the other number. Do not call the old number. I repeat. The 1-866 number stays the same. 1-866-896-2546. We're going to speak with Nick Mavromaris tonight. He's in studio from the Kafut Agency. I hope I said that right. We'll find out in a few minutes.
He'll let you know. Don't worry.
Nick's a soccer agent, FIFA licensed soccer agent, and we'll delve into that world a bit. And there was a huge scandal that huge hat tip for this huge scandal to our colleagues at the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation for breaking this story this last week on the National. But there's been some match fixing, not just allegations, but proven.
Wiretaps.
In the Canadian Soccer League, which is a semi-pro league. And frankly, if you're going to influence athletes in this day and age and try and sway and cheat, especially taking advantage of the huge world of online gambling that there is right now, you got to go to the athletes that need the money, not the ones that are making or taking other people's jobs in Europe right now.
Right.
My God, there's a lockout going on, too. What do you not want to talk about tonight?
There is.
We got to cross some things off the list at some point. There's so much going on.
There's been a naughty Blue Jay, too, so there's that we can talk about.
Naughty Blue Jay. I think that's an understatement.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And I don't want to... UNEL Escobar was photographed at a ball game this weekend wearing... it's called Eye Black, right?
It's the Eye Black. Yeah, they're... It used to be that they would use paint to right. do it, but now they have a special kind of adhesive, kind of like a Band-Aid that they put under their eyes.
Like the one that Tim Tebow would wear and had the John 3:16 written in it?
Yeah.
UNEL Escobar had...
Very clear. Very cute.
An incredibly homophobic Spanish slur that... Again, he's going to speak tomorrow at a press conference, so we'll get to figure out just how dumb he is tomorrow.
I think I figured that out already.
People that you speak to say that it can be interpreted in that everybody calls everybody that in certain places in Latin America.
Yeah, perhaps it could be interpreted as a wuss.
The way
type,
you're
a wuss, you're a weakling.
Yeah. I've heard a couple of different ways to describe
right.
it. None that are great anyway.
Yeah.
But if it's the...
a lollygagger?
If it's the one that's... If it's the one that's being used as the direct translation.
Mollycoddle.
The word that they've directly translated, the most media has directly translated to, is faggot.
Right.
Which, you know, you're wearing a Major League Baseball uniform. And I had a conversation with somebody that I respect very much today who said they're a fan of free speech. And I didn't know how to answer that. I found that to me, that crosses a line that you're an ambassador for the game, for your city, for our country by putting on that uniform.
Well, there's an argument to make, too. In the United States, that may go over. But in Canada, there is a Charter of Rights where racial slurs or homophobic slurs or slurs against any group of people of any kind is actually illegal, which it's not in the States, which is why, you know, you can't have skinheads in Canada doing protests, KKK members, things of that nature, because it is an attack on another culture. According to the Canadian Charter of Rights, that's illegal. In the United States, though, according to their rules and regulations, you are allowed to do that so long as you get permission beforehand.
Well, I don't see him writing an American ball club and getting permission for that.
No.
And hopefully in the next days and weeks.
Maybe the Reds. UNEL Escobar. Maybe the Cincinnati Reds, maybe.
I don't think Mark Schott is dead, Jay.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Mark Schott is...
I wasn't sure.
Wow. And that's the Kaufman Show.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that it? The football game was that long.
Yeah,
huh?
Exactly. We gotta throw on the plastic.
We're going to talk about Escobar later?
Yeah, we're going to talk about Escobar later. I want to hear from some people. And again, this isn't... I want to look at this as an opportunity, a teaching opportunity, not something to pile on UNEL Escobar, who's going to have a world of hurt coming his way. And yeah, he's ignorant and he's a kid. And I think he's going to learn a lot out of this. And hopefully he can become an ally and people like the You Can Play team can get him on board. You'd think with the influence that You Can Play has in Toronto that they're not going to stand for this.
Well, there's no way to better learn something than to learn from your mistakes by screwing up. So... Yeah. Hopefully he's smart enough to figure it out.
Once again, the 1-866 number, funnily enough, starts 1-866-896-2546. If you're calling from the Montreal area, 514-790-1690. This is the Kaufman Show. And we're back on late at night. Jimmy, turn that up. Let's celebrate with some fireworks. Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar, we are censored this week. We're back, coming in on some Pearl Jam. Mr. F, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I'm good. I'm doing all right, man.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Happy Rosh Hashanah to all my Jewish friends, wherever you may be. All the best in the coming year.
Can I say that today has proven a newfound theory that I have?
What is that?
That the football on Christian New Year's Day is way better than the football on Jewish New Year's Day.
Is it? What happened?
I don't know, but can we switch footballs for a few minutes?
Sure.
And talk about the one that the rest of the world calls football?
Yes.
All right. We are joined by a FIFA-sanctioned player agent. His name is Nick Mavromaris, and we welcome you to the Kaufman Show. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Yourself?
Good. Lean into the mic a little bit more, and we're good to go. Hello.
Hello.
How there are you? You go.
I'm doing great. Yourself?
Now you sound as big and terrifying as you actually are. So, first of all, thank you so much for coming in tonight.
I thank you for having me here.
Always appreciate when different aspects of our sports and culture come to us.
Yes.
It's way cooler than doing it over the phone.
Yeah.
So, why don't you first off tell us and our audience a little bit about yourself?
About myself.
Or at least what you do.
What I do.
Yeah. If you want to name your favorite band, too, like you're more than welcome.
Jeez, well, off
like you said, right. I'm a FIFA licensed player agent. What started off in the business just about a year and a half ago.
Okay.
I had a passion for the sport, watching football, and I call it football.
Makes sense.
I was always in Greece, you know, doing some trips and following soccer games and I had the luck to meet a few people that play professional football there. Mm-hmm. So it gave me the chance to attend practices and games and many meetings with their agents. And all of a sudden, I just said, why not? Well, I can do it also.
Was there the suggestion from Europe that there was perhaps an untapped market in Canada that you could exploit?
Exploit's
maybe the wrong word, but I think you know what I mean.
I knew well-known in the U.S. and Canada also, there's the market that's growing. And I knew the Montreal Impact were coming up in the MLS very soon. And since I live here in Montreal, for now, actually, and I said, why not? It's going to be another market that's not really common, you know, in Europe. And they'd be able to see me as a real agent, you know, being working in the MLS. Because it's not someone you meet every day that works in the MLS.
Is part of your job scouting as well as, like,
Yes.
You're obviously looking for clients. Like, what is the average age of somebody that you're trying to sign right now?
Well, the best for us is we try and look, as a new, as an agency, we try to build on a young base.
Well, that's it, because soccer's got some, like, crazy, you know, this 12-year-old signs with the team's academy and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's fantastic scouting that every club has. And
I find that terrifying, to be honest with you.
Yeah, probably the scouting that's been done is fantastic. But we need coaching skills actually to be able to tell who can make it in the next level, who's able to become a professional. So what we look for is, yes, 15, 16, 17 year olds. And, that's basically what we look for. We want to build on a young base. That way we have a good future with these guys.
So it's called the Kafoot Agency?
Kafoot Agency, exactly.
I did pronounce it properly. Look at that.
Okay.
My Greek is getting better by the day.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yes, it's the Kafoot Agency, and I thank Kevin Antunes, which was in the business for 3 years, and he gave me the chance to start with him. We're doing great. We're a young company. He's also a young guy, and we're doing fantastic until now. We have some players here in the MLS and in Europe also.
Big Jerry Maguire fan growing up? Maybe not. For me, that's what I think when I think of agents. Is I go straight to Jerry Maguire, and you should check it out. It's a movie with Tom Cruise, and suddenly I'm feeling very old in this radio station. This is the Kaufman Show. We're joined by Nick Mavromaris. He is a FIFA certified soccer or football agent, if you will. The Canadian Soccer League. Do you have any players in that league?
In the Canadian Soccer League, no. It's we have players in the MLS,
right? Which is obviously a higher level than the
Canadian
Soccer
League.
It's the higher
level. The Canadian Soccer League is the semi-pro league here,
right? This week, the Canadian Soccer League, as we mentioned briefly in our opening, the CBC had an expose on the Canadian Soccer League involving wiretaps, involving that giant soccer betting scandal in Europe. And some of the match-fixing traced back to the Canadian Soccer League, and especially to a match in Trois-Rivières, of all places, between Croatia-Toronto and Trois-Rivières. Now, you got the impression from this that this could be rather prevalent, and the scary part is that nobody gives a damn. With the CBC concluded their expose by saying that the RCMP has said that they're not going to be looking into this because nobody has complained so far. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. But I'll be honest with you, when I tweeted about it afterwards, I got one response. And then when I sent a little teaser to the afternoon show today that we were going to be talking about the scandal, match-fixing scandal in the Canadian Soccer League, they thought I made it up. So this is completely below the radar. Nobody is aware that this is going on, or everybody is, and they're all making a ton of money off it. Maybe that's what's going on.
Well, look, we all. To me, it's not a huge surprise because we know we're surrounded by match fixing all over Europe, in Greece also because we have players. I know many people there and in the business, and I can tell you an example that started off over there and with a second division team that was winning 1-0 at the half, and the owner of the club went in the dressing room and actually told him to lose the game. And the team lost 4-1. So it's also, you see, it's a second division team. So when you turn into the CSL, which is a small league, it's a semi-pro league, it's way easier to fix a game than when you're looking at a Champions League game that's around 40, 50,000 people in the stands. And comparing to the CSL, we have 50.
Right.
So,
but not, I mean, again, these guys are making nothing. They make $5,000 a year.
Exactly, which is way easier to seduce a player in offering him
$5,000 a game.
Yeah,
exactly.
And like you said, because it's a smaller league, there's not as much scrutiny about it. So, you know, it's not like during Yeah, it's not like during the Black Sox scandal when you had Christy Mathewson sitting up in the booth in the press box with all these newspaper writers telling them exactly what these players are doing wrong. You got 50 people who come to the game, mostly probably relatives and friends of the players on the field. And then, since it's a semi-pro league, the scores go up. You do get a report on it, probably in a small box in the scoreboard. And so guys are able to follow it and bet on the action. Why not? Go ahead, man.
And well. I also spoke yesterday to one of the players that was involved in that game, that played that game, Trois-Rivières versus Toronto Croatia. And he's one of the scorers of that game. And he was telling me that Toronto Croatia was one of the best teams in the league, and they beat him 4-1. And it was, to him, wasn't very normal.
Which is a high score in soccer anyway. 4-1.
Exactly.
That's crazy.
Well, but especially when the team that's winning 4-1 is like a 5-1 underdog.
Right, exactly.
Or an 8-1 underdog. I mean, it's just, it makes you wonder. And then, I mean, it's weird to say because we've seen it on such big scales. We've seen point shaving in college basketball. We've seen, Donaghy in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, he was actually convicted of it, wasn't he?
Right. And even the Trois-Rivières players were saying, well, the goalie made some stupid moves, and I couldn't believe I even scored. I mean, when the player on the other team is saying that, you know there's a problem. You know that, you know, there's the game has been breached.
Which leads to the how do you fall in love with a game? How do you market a game that you know can be breached like that? I'd like to think that that doesn't happen when we watch the National Hockey League. I'd like to think that doesn't happen when we watch Major League Baseball.
It's hard. You know, I'm not a believer in conspiracies, and it takes a lot of people to conspire to lose a World Series or to lose And if there's too many people involved, eventually it's going to come out. I mean, sure. People talk about the conspiracies about 9/11. You would have had to have thousands of people involved in this one conspiracy.
Kennedy.
Yeah, Kennedy. Eventually, it's going to come out. I mean, obviously, nothing's ever come out from that. Sports is a little different. It takes one guy, maybe two, three. In the case of the Black Sox scandal, it took eight to screw up a game. It takes one guy who's in a position, a goaltender, a striker, someone who's in a position,
right,
who has an important role on the
field. Who would be in that position anyway.
Yeah. And, you know, being in the pub business, I've known some interesting people in my time.
Oh, you don't say.
Yes.
Okay.
And I know guys who are deep into this kind of thing who are absolutely 100% convinced that at least the NBA and the NFL have already been compromised on many occasions. I knew a guy who could predict in the biggest imbalance in a spread, let's say 18-point spread during 1 week. I knew a guy who was able to tell you the underdog of the week that would win the game, and he was almost always right. 90% of the time, he knew that big game where the underdog would win, not only beat the spread, but win the game.
That guy
just
was
by looking at the odds.
Almost always your best friend.
No, I do not take part in any wagers, illegal or of any other kind. Well, I have other vices, but I don't gamble.
There are many that are legal. There are many that are legal, and you can hear ads for on the station.
Sure. And the ones that are not legal or sketchy or shiesty to say take place in the West Indies or in the Bahamas. All you got to do is give your credit card with complete anonymity, and it's on, man. So it's out there, and people, well, it's impossible. Well, you get to one guy. You take one guy, and he takes that opportunity during the game because at one point the ball's going to be his, or he's going to have an important officiating to do at one play in the game, and it can turn the entire tide.
Good to know, eh, kids?
Okay, guys?
Right.
I'm out of here. No,
I'm
still here. I'm going to stay here.
Go out there and cheer for your heroes.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I hear this, and I become very jaded. And, Nick, I imagine you have a response to that.
Just like I said before, you know, it's unfortunate. Me too. When I watch games, and we don't want, especially, and hopefully our players are not involved in these things. Me too. When I was watching these sports, I wasn't involved in the business. I never wanted to see one of my favorite teams being involved in match scandals and seeing that my team needs to win by fixing with money. You know,
right?
And that's what I think. You know, it's.
I mean, you could bet on anything. You can bet on absolutely anything. So it doesn't matter in what high regard the sport is held. CSL is a very small league where people are not really involved in it too much. Nobody knows. But you can bet on anything as long as it's reported in the paper and you're able to watch a match at any point. When you can go up to a $125,000 bet, does it really matter what you're betting on? Especially when these players can be compromised, corrupted, because they don't make any money.
Well, that's it.
A sad reality.
You're just betting numbers at that point, especially if you're in Europe. I mean, it's not like you know Toronto, Croatia, or the Trois-Rivières, whatever.
I never knew what that was. Why is it Toronto, Croatia? I don't understand.
I could not really even care.
Yeah.
Although you kind of want Trois-Rivières to be like Trois-Rivières, Serbia, or Trois-Rivières.
No, nobody wants that, Kaufman.
Jesus.
What are you, me? What's the matter with you?
I don't know.
All right.
Fair enough.
Zanaris is the other Greek
other
guy.
Buddy, yeah.
It's the other Greek guy Yanni brought in the other day.
John Kakalakis, I want to thank you for bringing in Nick Mavro. What is wrong with me? Please say your name for me.
Mavromaris.
I'm adding in an extra
Mavromaris. Kaufman.
Mavromaris? No, you added in extra vowels there.
I did that with John's name a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I was in Toronto.
Poor Johnny.
I was in Toronto plutzing listening to that. Mr. Kakalakis, Mr. Garofalis on the board.
There you go. No, I asked.
Mr. Mavromaris is our guest.
Yeah.
Mr. Farrar is Greek as well. What's your mom's name?
Eftihia.
Shout out to
Lurithus.
Yeah.
She's doing backflips right now.
Else. Yeah?
Yeah.
She's listening?
Of course she's listening. She
it's
listens
so
every
late.
Monday. She doesn't care. She's older. She wakes up 4 in the morning anyway.
Hi, Mom.
She's Greek. She thinks she still has a garden.
This was before I butchered his name like 4 times. Nick Mavromaris, please tell us tell our audience how they can get in touch with you. And for anybody who thinks that they're
kids. Can we ask you who you represent? Do we know? Or are we allowed?
I think we're more than allowed. I know that you have a couple of guys on the Impact Squad, right?
Yes, exactly. Carl, we met, which is one of the youngest guys in the Impact Squad that just called up. He was the first ever Academy player to be signed in the first team. We're really glad how the way he's performing. He's played until now two MLS official games. Maxime Crépeau, which is also an upcoming huge talent, training with the Academy, also trains with the first team, plays for under 20 of Canada also. So these are two guys that we have at the Montreal Impact right now.
And they're two local guys, right?
Two local guys, yes.
That's great.
And then you have a bunch of guys that play in Europe as well, right?
Yes, in Greece, Portugal, and we're opening up now in Germany also.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So you must travel a lot.
Yeah, planning up a trip hopefully in the next 10 days, Germany and France. Have some meetings with a few clubs in the German Bundesliga.
Awesome.
And French League One.
So anybody in Montreal that thinks that their 14, 15, 16-year-old is going to be a superstar, how do they get in touch with you?
We actually, all my, our, I'm on FIFA.com, actually, if you go in the official, the Canadian Soccer Association part of with the official agents. Have my email, my phone number over there.
Perfect. So the name once again is Nick Mavromaris.
Mavromaris.
Exactly.
Mavromaris.
Yeah. I don't know if you have to roll the R or not. It's
you do if you're Greek.
Fair enough.
Okay.
And speaking about those talents,
we
try and do our best, and we go watch many, many games during the year. And once we see potential talent that is not ready really to make it to the next level, it needs a bit of time. I'm very glad to have started something new with. The Olympic athlete, you guys know, Nick Makrizonaris. We send him and they do conditioning, fitness with muscle coordination and in general fitness for them to be able to reach the next level.
Awesome.
So
very cool. I know that Nick is going to be, we'll be speaking with Nick on the show very soon. He's planning something incredibly special that I might have to get into a little bit of shape for.
Uh-oh.
I know. Terrifying, isn't it?
Jeez.
Nick Mavromaris, I want to thank you so much for your time tonight. Really appreciate you coming in. And
I thank you for having me,
guys. It was fun talking about the beautiful game with you, man.
Thanks a lot.
Which we hope will stay beautiful.
Let's, you know what? I'm loving the, sorry, and we were about to finish, but you're absolutely right, Jay. And I would like to hope that this would not happen with the Impact, that this is because it's such a low level that it's sort of fallen through the cracks in Canada, whereas... You know, we want the Impact to grow and build and become an integral part of the city. And it would be really hard for that to happen if there's any kind of question of integrity involved.
Well, look, the Impact's part of the MLS League.
Right.
And until now, we haven't heard anything for the American League. And hopefully not, actually, yes. It would be unfortunate to hear all these things that were going on in Greece and Italy and all these match scandals and... It hasn't come here until now, so hopefully it stays like this.
Let's keep it beautiful.
Let's do it.
Nick Mavromaris, you can find him. What is your Twitter handle, sir?
Mavromaras Nikos. I have it in Greek.
Mavromaras Nikos. That's right. I did notice that since I started following you on Twitter that I would learn a lot more if I actually spoke the language. Hey, it's a good lesson to learn in general on Twitter. This is the Kaufman Show. Getting used to the new old hours here, and we'll be back. Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. Man, Twitter is alive right now. We are back. It is nighttime. It's nice to keep you all company. It's interesting. Melnick sent out a tweet this afternoon. Somebody had blogged about when Mitch was doing late night at...
the other place.
Yeah, you know the one.
Yeah, yeah.
It rhymes with CJAP.
Jeez. Okay.
And how it was cool. They went to... He sent out a blog link to this guy who had attached a five-minute audio clip of the guy calling in 20 years ago to the date. And they're talking about, which I can't believe it's 20 years, but the pennant race in 92.
Yuck.
Man.
The Pirates.
The Pirates.
Yuck.
And then, for me, a little bit more vivid is the pennant race in 93.
Yuck. The Phillies.
The epic collapse of the Phillies.
Yuck.
Which, if that season had just been a week longer.
Yeah.
Story of our lives, huh? Not this year if you're a Washington Nationals fan. Man, if you live in the Beltway this year, it must be just like an orgasmic overload.
I don't know. I don't know what the feel of the city is. Are people going nuts, or are they showing up for the games? I haven't looked at the attendance.
In Baltimore, they've been showing up lately.
Finally?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, which is great. Even in Oakland, they've been
selling. They're not showing up in Tampa. I can tell you that. What was it, 10,000 tonight against the Red Sox?
Yeah, well, Tampa's kind of done.
Yeah, still.
Well, the Red Sox-Tampa games, Jay, are always inflated crowds because Red Sox Nation comes.
Yeah.
But when Red Sox are playing the way they're playing, why would Red Sox Nation come and support them?
Right. Actually, the Blue Jays just went ahead of them, I think, one game above the cellar in the American League East.
Is that what it's come down to this year?
That's what it's come down to.
This is the...
Perhaps Escobar was celebrating getting one game ahead of the Red Sox out of the cellar.
I don't think there's much light to be made of this situation with Escobar. I think it shows the ignorance of these guys that are... an entitled culture. And, you know, you talk about people being coddled from a young age.
Right.
And I mean, which I don't know his background. I know he's from Havana, so I can't imagine that he had it too easy.
No.
But inexcusable. Inexcusable. And I keep going back to you're wearing a major league uniform. And if you wear the pinstripes, you represent the Yankees. And if you wear Dodger blue, you represent L.A., or at least parts of L.A.
Yeah.
If you wear the Blue Jays uniform, I'm sorry, it's the way it is right now, ladies and gentlemen. You represent Canada. And that's so not cool. Let's go to the phones.
All right.
1-866-896-2546. The new number. Say it along with me.
514-790-1690.
All right. No. We got that. Always. Our chemistry is just undeniable.
It's great.
Always finishing each other's sandwiches.
Yeah.
Let's go to the phones. We've got Mitch in Laval. Hello, Mitch. Welcome to the Kaufman Show.
How you doing, gentlemen?
How are you, sir?
Pretty good, thanks. Just listening to your show, very relaxing. And, I have a little bit of a problem with not necessarily much, but the whole baseball situation, it's really, I find, not covered. Like, I mean, I'm a big baseball fan for the last 35 to 40 years. And, I mean, baseball is a major league sport, and I find in Montreal, just because we don't have the Expos anymore, it's just not covered anymore, and it's kind of sad. I mean, I love baseball. And, for example, I'll give you a good example today. Chicago White Sox are playing Detroit Tigers.
Yeah, how about that play by Alex Rios, huh?
A great game. I mean, I would love to see that game. So I'm turning, I'm figuring maybe Sportsnet's going to carry it. Sometimes they carry, Sportsnet 1, TSN. This is a huge game. I mean, far more important than any Impact soccer game or CFL game. And, like, there's no coverage.
Or NHL preseason
anything.
Talk.
Who cares
or...
about this?
Exactly.
Yeah. This is a huge game. In the grand scheme of things, this is a huge game. It's a national sport. I mean,
can I tell you what I did
to?
Let me tell you what I did to fix that, Mitch.
Yeah.
MLB.TV. Do you have access to internet?
Sure, I do, but it's not the same. I mean, I have a 50-inch screen TV. Yeah. I pay for my services from Videotron. I pay a lot of money. I want to sit back. It's a Jewish holiday. I was off from work. I want to watch the White Sox play the Tigers. I mean, that's a great game.
I hear you. And what I did was I bought Apple TV, which allows me to hook up my Mac to my television so right. I can watch HD, 1080, whatever the hell it is.
Yeah.
It's the highest quality video. It honestly comes in better than when I watch on the cable.
Uh-huh.
And I'm with a service provider right now that doesn't offer me HD for Sportsnet,
right?
Which I think is insane. I can't watch baseball in standard definition anymore. I just can't do it. It's so good in HD that I can't watch it in standard definition.
I can't watch anything in standard definition. I have a 60-inch TV, so forget it.
We've all gotten to the point where we're measuring our television.
And
so
baseball
hit that
is beautiful in HD, and you're right, Mitch, we should see a lot more of it. It doesn't, especially this time of year, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
It's actually kind of funny that on the television right now in studio are highlights from the Detroit-Chicago game.
I mean, I was like sleeping last night, dreaming, okay, I'm going to get up late, and I'm going to put on TV, and what's on, I don't know, some old reruns of the Tour de France or something. I don't even know. Why would you not show this great game? I don't understand. Like, I can't comprehend. This is I was a little shocked. I'm very disappointed.
I'm with you, Mitch, and I will say this. You see more coverage of baseball now than you did at any point in the 8 years since the Expos have left.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been on the air a little over a year, and we focus on baseball. We talk about baseball more than we talk about most other sports. And yes. I think hockey's going to help us out this fall by not playing. So we'll be bringing you a lot of baseball playoff talk, lots of baseball history talk, might even talk about the Expos every once in a while. I'm kind of guilty of that.
Well, no, you guys do cover. So if we have a minute, I'm a big Yankee fan. I've been a Yankee fan since 19...
Oh, come on, Mitch.
Probably 72. I used to listen to all the games, Phil Rizzuto, Bill White. I used to listen. I have a big
now Yankee. We know for sure this isn't Melnick speaking through a voice filter.
No, yeah. And also, you know what? Any Yankee fan who lived through the 80s is a true Yankee fan, so I'll give you that.
Steinbrenner, yeah. Nightmare, but you know what? Ever since 95 when Jeter, Rivera, and those guys, it's been unbelievable. I mean, now we expect Yankees to win every year because they've been in the playoffs, I think, 16 out of 17 years. That's unbelievable for the amount of teams that get in the playoffs in baseball. For a team to be in 16 out of 17 years, it's unbelievable. But, I mean, I'm a big Jeter fan. Obviously, I grew up with Jeter. He's he's the guy. Do you think there's a chance he can break Pete Rose's all-time hit list?
Isn't he Isn't he 1,000 hits away?
He's about 9-something.
How old is he?
He's 38.
He's going to do it.
Of his career.
Really?
Yeah, he's going to do it. Yeah, he's going to play till he's 46, and he's going to do it.
You think he'll get
46? He's got to do 5 more years. I'd say 5 or 6 more years.
Well, he'll need 200 hit seasons, which is not going to happen.
He's already had 200 this year, and there's 15 games left. I mean, he's 38. So,
but you're acting like Derek Jeter this year might not be the exception. Whereas it seemed more like last year's Derek Jeter was kind of the rule. There's no way we'd be having this conversation last year.
Last year, he didn't have a bad. He had not a great year, maybe not his best year, but he didn't have a horrible year. I mean, he had 190, almost 200 hits, or was injured. Actually, was injured, so he didn't have as many. But
what they're going to have to do with him is change positions. He can't be playing shortstop.
Forget about that.
When
he gets older. Do you see him leading off for the next 8 years? Do you see the Yankees having a 46-year-old leadoff hitter?
No,
because he's not going to have the chance to get 200 hits in any other spot but the leadoff position. Because if he's not leading the league in outs as well as hits, then he's bloody close in both.
Maybe, but he's still batting almost .330 this year. I mean, you know, we're talking maybe 3 more solid years. It's probable, possible. And then after that, you know, he become maybe an every second day player. I'm just saying, he's the one guy who can challenge that record. I don't see anyone like Omar Vizquel, I think is second. I mean, he's 45. He's still playing, not getting many hits, mind you.
Well, he's not playing, exactly. I think either the next hit or the last hit passed Babe Ruth for Omar Vizquel. Yeah, do you think, Mitch, I'll ask you one question before we let you go. Yeah. Do you think that Vladimir Guerrero, if he'd played, would have gotten to 500 home runs?
Would have what is he at, 460?
Yeah, roughly. Less of a climb than Jeter has to catch Pete Rose, but I feel like it's a kind of a relative conversation.
It's a kind of, but 500, we're talking 500. It's not the all-time record. Where I'm talking Jeter's the all-time record. But I think, you know what, not this year, not 40 in 1 year, but if he played a year and a half, maybe he would have done it. I mean, I think the home run is a lot harder to get than the hit also.
I'm much more interested in seeing Ichiro get to 3,000 hits in the majors than I am seeing Jeter break Pete Rose's record. Frankly, I want Pete Rose to keep that record. I want him to have something.
Well, I don't know, but speaking of Ichiro for 1 minute.
Yeah.
Guy is he played his first 9 years in Japan. He has now, I think, 2,400 hits. If you take those 9 years in Japan, minimum, if you play Major League Baseball, it's 200 hits his first 9 years. This guy would have 4,200 hits already.
And then that would be the guy who we'd be having the conversation
about. 38 years old. Yeah, he would destroy that record.
Exactly.
It wouldn't even be close. By the way, Jeter's at 3,287 hits. He's less than 900 hits away from reaching. You know, Pete Rose's record. It's tough to say. I don't know. I mean, Pete Rose had the advantage of becoming a player manager, so basically putting himself wherever he wanted.
Right.
And when he was with the Rids in the mid-'80s, and, you know, he hit his 4,000th as an expo, and he had the longevity, and he wasn't playing as much in the field. He was playing first base, if you remember, as well.
Mitch, thank you very much for the call. Please call back anytime. That was... A lot of fun talking baseball with the Montrealers, even if they're Yankees.
By the way, Guerrero wouldn't have gone to his 500 because he got what I like to call the big puppy scare. And if you don't know what that means, figure it out. Real soul, please.
Midnight herder. All night love. This one's for Vlad. Show, Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar. We got Jimmy G on the board. John Kakalakis is helping us out. And it's New Year's. At least for some. What, 5773, I think, is the...
Is it?
I think so.
Where are the flying cars, Kaufman? Where are the starships?
I don't know. Oh. The Star of David starships. Those would be... That's a Mel Brooks
imagine,
waiting to happen.
Imagine for Jews, it's like 50, and like that's Jews right. are futuristic, but nobody else is. Imagine just like society evolved that way. It'd be so funny.
Wow. Jay, that's very interesting.
Yeah.
I have just, to say, my mind is doing all sorts of funny things.
Imagine
right
the
now.
Year that it is in your religion. Actually is that year to everybody else as well, except you're the only one who evolves and has futuristic stuff. That would be cool.
Oh, in that case, the would it be the Hindus or the Buddhists that are like...
Oh, yeah.
Like way ahead.
They've transcended humanity.
Which is not really a surprise.
They've become non-corporeal beings.
Well, one thing that I'm very lucky about wonderful family dinners. And I'm still full from last night's, let alone tonight's. Yeah. But yeah, Mom made a hell of a meal, and the whole family was there. And
Jewish kids, lucky in school. Always had the holidays. Rest of us sitting there, half the class is gone.
You get to bring home all this dessert. Yeah. Oh, it's just been gluttonous. And dancing in Jerusalem next year. I am gonna make it through this year. If it kills me, I am gonna make it through this year. If it kills me. Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. Happy New Year to everybody. I thought that was a prerequisite if you wanted to be an agent.
Yeah.
John, John Kakalakis has joined us in studio. John, have you seen Jerry Maguire?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Okay. Can you please show your friend Jerry Maguire? I feel like it'll make him a better agent.
That's just the fact that Nick has spent a lot of his life in Greece. I'm sure that's why.
Oh, absolutely.
Probably hasn't watched it. But
no, that's fine.
I'm not.
But we should give him a little crash course of North
American.
What
are you saying,
agents.
John? They don't have movies in Greece? It's like a gangster who's never seen The Godfather, you know?
There you go. Yeah. There you go. This movie will make him both a better gangster and agent.
I'm sure it will.
Well, I guess depending on which one he watches.
Yeah.
But no, when I hear agents, when you said my buddy's an agent and he can come into studio and talk some soccer with you, I thought, oh, wow, we're going to have like a little Jerry Maguire coming and join us. So I want him to be in on the joke. That's all I'm saying.
It was funny when you asked him that and he's just staring at you.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes for great radio. The blank stares make for awesome radio. Let me just say that's one thing.
Oh, it happens.
Absolutely. There's one thing I've learned, but I wanted to get that out there. I thought it was very important that he understands. Okay, computer's not still on, right, Jim? Computer, I'm going to throw that up
there.
What's
going on?
I appreciate it.
You complete me.
Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you.
That movie annoys me for some reason. I don't know why. It just annoys me.
Does it?
Yeah, I find it pretentious. Anyway.
It was.
Yeah.
It was, and it was cheesy, and it was over the top, and it was... Well, let's put it this way. If Rod Tidwell suffered the concussion that he had suffered live on Monday Night Football, he probably wouldn't be going back in next week or for the next play nowadays, the way that they pretend to care about player safety in the NFL.
Right.
Oh, does that frustrate?
It's a movie.
I know.
It's a movie.
I know. Sorry, yeah. I'll calm down again.
Okay.
Okay? Okay, you're right. He plays for Arizona. There's no way they'd be on Monday Night Football. It's a movie. Come on. So... I watched this, and you know, I've got John Kakalakis is a huge New York Giants fan. He Facebooks and tweets about it a lot. You do.
Great.
You do.
I just became Facebook friends with him. I'm going to have to deal with that crap
Get
all
ready.
The time.
Oh, man. You have no idea.
It's as bad as people who put those stupid slogans. Those.
wait, can I show people? Can I dumb myself down for a second?
Sure.
Show people how stupid I truly am sometimes? Memes? Anyone?
Oh,
memes?
God.
What? Okay.
I thought it was meme, M-E-M-E.
What?
You know those things like the kind of postery type things that people put up on Twitter or Facebook and they have like slogans and there's a picture or whatever?
Yes, the colossal waste of time.
That's
yes.
The one that I think you were just referring to.
Yeah, yeah, those things. That's what I'm talking about. Or
it's spelled M-E-M-E.
Okay.
To me, I wouldn't pronounce that meme.
It's mime, no? But it's missing
it was,
the accent graph.
Well, I would have gone like Mimi or Meme.
Meme?
Meme, yeah.
Meme.
I mean, why not be super pretentious about it, right?
Uh-huh.
I feel like Mitt Romney would call it a meme.
Yeah. If anybody's listening who puts those things, stop it. Stop it, please.
I know.
Stop it. And stop asking me if I want to play Lucky Slots,
or
too.
Or something, or all that crap. I mean, there's like a new Farmville every damn day.
Yeah, but I mean...
And it's always from the people that you least suspect as well.
Yeah, I know.
Like, these are the same, like, you know, you think somebody's normal and into politics, and then they get dressed up to go to the conventions, and then you see what a freak they are.
Yeah, and it's not only that. You see that they play these games on Facebook, and they so want to play this game so badly that they actually take up the option of Facebooking all your friends to join this stupid thing.
Like poker. Like, why would I want to play poker?
Lucky Slots.
Why would I want to play any kind of gambling game on Facebook?
Right.
Because Facebook's not totally spying on that, right? And selling that information for anything other purposes. No. Facebook's kind of lost it right now. There was a story that came out about, you know, the Friends You May Know column on Facebook?
Mm-hmm.
Some woman found out about her husband's second marriage by seeing a picture of him with his other family and the People You May Know column on Facebook. Luckily, I'm not married once, so I don't have to worry about that. But what I am noticing is that Facebook obviously has figured out that I'm a baseball fan. And every day on the right-hand column, I have all these Major League Baseball players, and it's asking me if I want to be friends with Herm Winningham, and it's asking me if I want to be friends with Bobby Bonilla. Like, just randoms. And, like, I don't know. I find it very odd.
It asks me to like other pubs. That's what it does.
That's amazing.
That's what it does, yeah.
That's amazing. Well, if you do get any spam saying, like the Kaufman Show, know that it's from us and it's reputable.
I like Facebook in the way that you can post articles and interesting things. You could put, hey, listen, if you got a speech and you have a stupid opinion, which most people do, that nobody will ever care about, at least, you know, that counts for something. But enough with these slogans and these inspirational words that nobody gives a damn about. Nobody. It's like, oh, that's so sweet. Like this. If you don't like this, you don't care about cancer.
Oh, I know. That's the
stuff
one.
Stuff like that.
That's did you see the kid at the Phillies game this week? Some kid with cancer, bald, holding up a sign saying, if I can beat cancer, you can beat the Astros.
Jeez.
They lost the game. They lost the game.
Oh, boy. Well, you know, that's his own damn fault for taking it out of context. Just God almighty.
So rough.
Now Jay's going after kids with cancer.
No,
I'm not, but
no,
come on.
You're not.
Keep it
no,
in context.
That's right. That's right. This is the Kaufman Show.
Look at this, 20-plus other app requests that are outstanding. What is this crap? Stop sending me this crap, you idiots.
514-790-1690. That's right, because it's TSN 690 right now. And we wish you all a happy new year, Jewish or not. Jewish or Greek like the rest of the
By state. The way, at Chaminade High, when Passover and Greek Easter would be on the same weekend, there'd be two people in every class. It was awesome. I wasn't one of them. I would switch sides any time.
Now, should I thank Major League Baseball or should I thank the Jews for...
Thank the Jews for everything.
Okay, well, I want to thank them for not scheduling Rosh Hashanah dinner on the final day of the baseball season like they did last year.
Oh, they did, huh?
I missed everything last year.
Did you?
Most wonderful day in the history of regular season baseball.
That's right, I remember that.
There was like a two-hour span where the world just flipped on its head. The Braves missed the playoffs. The Cardinals snuck in. The Orioles beat the Red Sox.
Red Sox were just,
Tampa
they were just
was
about
down 8-0. They came back and beat the Yankees.
That's right.
It was just the most amazing day ever, and I lived it all vicariously through text message from my buddy John Gibson in Toronto.
Yeah.
Never again. Never again.
You're not like, in my family,
next year in Jerusalem with MLB app on my iPhone. Okay, that's the only way it's going to be in Jerusalem.
My family's dysfunctional. We throw on a hockey game during Christmas. People are opening presents and looking at the hockey.
When I was a kid, I have wonderful memories of when I was a kid, my grandfather and one of his good buddies, they were like the two patriarchs at the Passover dinner table. And this was back when Passover used to interfere with the playoffs. And or the playoffs used to interfere with Passover, depending on which way you look at that, you know. And they would rush through the ceremony, and I only knew that they rushed through because my dad's side of the family, the other side, the next night it used to take so long. But my mom's side, Habs were playing the Whalers, and we had to get upstairs to that TV. So it was like bing bang boom, we're done. And hockey's a religion in this town, I guess,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Wailers.
The Wailers,
yeah,
huh?
I'm not dating myself, right?
Anybody? No?
Yes, I know exactly the
See,
song.
See, Bobby Z on Twitter just said we're sounding real old right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
By talking about Jerry Maguire?
No, I think because we were bitching about Facebook.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, Bobby, why don't you call
You're
in?
You're sounding real young
call,
right now.
Call in, Bobby.
Yeah, tough guy. Call
that's
in.
Right, that's right. Show us the error of our ways. You do like to critique, and Bobby is Montreal Design on Twitter.
Yeah.
And, Bobby just recently started following me again on Twitter. I got a notification.
You guys have an argument?
No, I don't think so.
You're in a fight?
No, I think he probably just got sick of all my political tweets or something.
Oh, okay.
Or baseball, or rock and roll. Well, that pretty much sums up what I tweet about,
that's
right?
It. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
So, yeah, Bobby, we'd love to hear from you, and if you want to help youthen up the program, euthanize the program.
Euthanize the program. Put us out of our misery.
You are the right person to euthanize the show right now.
Bobby Z. Kevorkian.
Oh, is that what that means?
Yeah.
Oh. I thought it was just a meme. This is the Kaufman Show, where we like to play our music louder than this.
I hopped off the bus, we were singing a song. I heard for $10, you can park on the lawn. There's a man on the corner who's buying and selling. Long as they're legit, the cops aren't telling. I wanna be under the lights, sweating to it on summer nights. If you give me your heart, if you give me it all, I promise I'll stick around for the fall. From the barbershop to the corner store, it's like the whole city's
back to the Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar with you late night. TSA. You like that?
No.
You don't like this song? You're kidding me.
I didn't say no. I'm going now, now.
I feel
no,
like if we
no.
go back through the tape there, we I would have heard a no on that answer.
Jeez.
That's I feel you.
What are you, the FBI?
I am. I'm a fan of the SRB. That's all.
No.
Sam Roberts Band.
Oh.
Good Montreal boys. They are opening for my favorite band in the world, The Tragically Hip.
Sounds like something off the White Album. Okay.
Are you a Beatles fan? Is
yes,
that
I am. I enjoy the Beatles.
Okay.
Yeah.
Really?
Much to the chagrin of all the hipsters in this town, but yeah.
What do you mean?
I feel the Beatles are getting a hate on lately. I don't know why.
What? From who?
From people who don't know anything about music.
Just when I started to like them, huh?
Yeah.
It took me forever to get into the Beatles.
Really?
Forever. Oh,
since I was a kid.
I was raised on the Stones, man.
I was raised on the Stones, too, but also the Beatles.
See, I was
open
raised,
your horizons,
well,
man.
That's the thing. I was raised on the Stones, and then I was also raised on the, like, really crappy early Beatles. The I Want to Hold Your Hand Beatles. My parents never owned Abbey Road. They didn't own the White Album. They, I think, I don't know, maybe they realized that.
The White Album is probably the best Beatles album.
Yeah, I mean, there's some debate in there. A lot of people like Revolver. A lot of people like Let It Be.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like Let It Be.
Yeah.
And Abbey Road's sick. I don't know, it's such a tough, that's a tough one. That's one for another night, my friend.
Yeah.
Favorite Stones album, I can do Lickety Split.
Lickety Split? I didn't hear it. I didn't hear that album.
Oh, that's 40 what? Licks. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
No, Exile on Main Street definitely is,
yeah.
Takes.
I might have to agree with you on that one.
Yes, Chantel, this will be podcasted. The show will be up, as always, within about a half an hour of being done, which is, oh, I don't know, about a half an hour from now. I think we're going to go till 2, right, gentlemen? I wonder if people are confused by the times when they hear them on the podcast.
Yeah. I, by the way, I like how Chantel used a Battlestar Galactica swear word.
Fracking?
Fracking football.
Fracking. I thought fracking was a, you know, the removal of shale gas from the soil.
What the hell are you talking about, Kaufman?
Man, what's going on? Oh, you just, every week. Okay, so 2 weeks ago was Bequeath. By
yeah,
the way,
I know what that means.
An entire Community episode where they use the word Bequeath, like every third word, which I feel like you now need to see.
Okay.
Last week there was
I watched a bit
word.
Of Community and got kind of sick of it, so.
Did you?
Yeah. Okay. Network television, man. Can't do it.
I do it on Netflix.
Okay.
20-minute shots. I sit there and I howl. I laugh so hard.
Okay.
And I hope that, you know, they've lost their, the creative mind behind it. It would be like if the Kaufman Show lost Jay Farrar. We'd be just
forget
aimless.
It. Shut the whole thing down.
Aimless.
It's over. It's all over, but the crying.
I mean, he puts...
Are you kidding me?
Farrar puts the Kaufman in Kaufman Show.
Jeez.
We've got to... Oh, my goodness. They're all coming. Everybody's coming out tonight. This is wonderful. Let's go to the chef in Montebello. I feel like more people listen.
Gentlemen.
At the witching hour. Hello, Andrew. How are you, sir?
Doing great, guys. How are you?
We're fantastic.
Hey, what's your... Well, listen, I heard you the little take on these on agents, and I sort of have the same thing. When I hear agents, I hear, show me the money, and this goes to the hockey thing.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, I don't even understand why the players even bother to show up behind Donald Fehr.
What do you mean?
I honestly think it just should basically be the agents who should be up there.
Why?
I honestly feel a lot of these guys are calling the shots for a lot of their players.
Oh, come on. Give these guys some credit.
No, to a certain extent, like... How many guys in like in the last couple of days have now signed up to go and play in the KHL are being pushed? I'm sure they must be being pushed by their agents.
Really?
If there was a risk, that much of a risk, I would feel that the agents would say, oh, no, you guys, you can't take this risk. And the guys who are basically being picked up right now, you saw it was like Thornton and, Nash and guys like that. These leagues are basically they're putting these rules. Okay, we're not going to take everybody. We're going to take one or two imports. Like the KHL had just put out these restrictions that the guys basically in the last 3 years have to have won the Stanley Cup if they're not a Russian player. They're basically in the cream of the crop of all these guys. All the guys who are really fighting for something right now, they're not the guys that are ending up with these jobs over in the KHL and in the Swiss leagues. It's all these guys who have either played there, which I find is okay. It's like going back home, which isn't a problem. It's when you have these other guys, like the Thorntons and the Nashes and stuff like that, are going over. They're basically stealing a job from some other guy who really probably needs this $100,000 or $200,000 that he would basically be getting paid. And then now they're flipping around and they're giving these guys millions of dollars.
Well, to be fair, they are. I know in the KHL they've added 3 roster spots. So theoretically that means that they're not taking away somebody else's job. And I know that's been the big line that I've seen today, too, is these guys care so much about their own union, but they don't care about a guy who, you know,
exactly.
Claws and fights his whole career to get close to it and doesn't get there.
I don't feel the solidarity behind right now. And but
do you have a side in this quarrel, Andrew? Like, are you with the owners? Are you with the players? Do you not care? Do you just want it resolved?
I care a lot, but I just find it so completely ridiculous with the humongous amounts of money that I can never even fathom that are on the table for these guys. They're going to be losing a little bit, but it's the collateral damage is what's killing me.
Hey, you know, I got an email from Jeff Molson today.
Well, it's the parking attendants. It's Jay's pub. It's everybody who would be down
right.
on a night tent. Well, not tonight, but I mean, when the league, even if there was a pregame show tonight, a pregame a practice game, whatever you call it, excuse me, mm-hmm. there would be a lot of people downtown right now.
Sure.
I'm sure that those people are not out there. And it's always the little man. It's unfortunate. It's the little man. And I'm not even talking on the hockey, the fan aspect of it.
But let's go another step, Andrew.
I'd love
Whose fault is this in the end?
I come back down to the agent.
I disagree with you. I think it's the same person's fault that gets affected.
Okay, well, then we can go back and say, well, really, basically, it's a bunch of...
I'm not saying Jay's Pub in particular is
no,
fault.
No, we do nothing wrong.
Of course not.
But those who frequent the pub
there you go.
Are to blame. They're just as much to blame. And part of the problem is that no matter how long, if they're out for 6 days, 6 weeks, 6 months, or 6 years, we all come marching back. And until we learn, and you know, the suggestions, and they come out every time, you know, go and when the national anthem starts the first game back, everybody turn your back to the ice. Or litter, throw money on the rink. You know, big signs with greed. None of that matters. The thank you fans crap that we had to go through last time painted on the ice, that's going to come back. They kept that panel in storage.
Exactly.
Meanwhile, this is 20 years.
It's the collateral damage is what I find, which is the worst in all of this.
Yeah,
this is
right.
The fourth in 20 years, three lockouts and a strike. There was a 10-day strike in 92 that didn't affect play.
I mean, and how can you basically have Gary Bettman out?
Well, it affected play. I think it was before the playoffs started, but the playoffs ended up just finishing later. No games were lost. Sorry, Andrew.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't even know how the National Hockey League will be even come back with a Gary Bettman after this is done, because it will obviously get done. And let's pray to God it's going to be done like before December, because if not, I really think the damage will be seriously done if it goes on later on after that. But I mean, how do you come back with a guy who's been on contract and who his mandate just to make sure that there's a conflict every 5, 6, 7 years.
Well, I don't think that's the mandate. I think the mandate is to grow the league and to make it a bigger revenue-generating product than it was.
And that's the problem he has.
He's done an amazing
because
job.
Because Gary Bettman is all about the bottom line, right. It comes into two waves. There's an evil side and there's a good side to it. They have had nothing but prosperity in the last 7 years,
right.
Even after a lockout.
Right.
So my question is this to you, NHL fans, and to you, Montreal. Do you have the cojones? Do you have the balls to not show up like they did in 1995 after the player strike in Major League Baseball? People did not show up and it had an effect.
Yeah, but
the only thing that brought them back was Cal Ripken.
But baseball's not on our money.
Right.
Hockey's on the back of our money.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's
a different
beast.
People will come back no matter what. And they're not worried about Montreal right now. They're worried about if they'll come back in Tampa or Nashville.
We treat it almost as if it's like gasoline prices. Nobody can do anything about gasoline prices because we need gasoline for the cars.
You want to know
it's
what
like this country
like?
Needs hockey.
Jay, I'll tell you what we treat it like. We treat it like deification. Like these people are saints.
Yeah.
The ground is hollow that they walk on and come live there.
Right.
Let's build a tower to the heavens and the ghosts will come back to the Bell Center.
Right.
And starting at the 250s, you two can be a part of this.
Yeah.
Boy, that's a tough sell right now. Eh?
I reserved one.
Did you?
Yeah.
Only one?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
I know. I was going to use two. One for me, one for
maybe
I'll get a dog or something. Yeah. One for me, one for my brother. He can afford it, believe me.
Even if the teams in Nashville and in Columbus don't make money, it doesn't matter. Because every single year, Montreal and Toronto and Vancouver raise the prices.
Right.
And well, every actually, year they raise the prices.
I was going to say this before, Andrew. I got an email from Jeff Molson today. I share a pair of season tickets with a friend of mine. I have...
3%, wasn't it?
3%.
There you go.
I'm getting 3% back for every game. I'm getting my money back for every game that that isn't played, plus 3% back.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Compared to the last place team of last year, I feel like this should have been the standard offer anyway.
Yeah.
We're going to pay you to support the Montreal Canadiens this season.
People, if you don't want this to happen again, don't go to the games. What do you want me to tell you? And I'm not encouraging to
whatever.
See, and
I love having
don't go to the games.
I love having these season tickets. I wish I could say I don't want them this year. And I turn my back on you for 1 year, but if I refuse them and I pass them up,
you'll never get them back.
That's it. They're gone forever.
Right.
And when times are good, those things are they're like gold.
Yeah.
I mean, to have Habs, talk about a...
If they have a good run, they make it to the conference final or something like that.
Talk about something like you want to have to pass down to your grandchildren.
Yeah.
So it's this tough debate.
And if there's a cup run, you want to be there for that.
Damn
you would
straight.
Kick yourself.
Right.
Well, then, Mr. Coffin and Mr. Farrar, I need you to help me then to find a way, a peaceful way, that we can actually really, really show the whole National Hockey League and the players and the agents, everybody, that I've had enough. I won't take this anymore. And what do we do?
Abstain. It's the only thing you can.
Let me see if I can think of something that's
you're
a little
start
bit...
start a new protest.
Well, no. Yeah, it's no,
start
men
wearing...
if all Habs.
Yeah.
No, let's see if we can come up with something that's a little bit more we are the official station of the Habs friendly.
There you go.
Let me think about it for the next week. And in the meantime, Andrew, I want to thank you personally for everything that you've said and done all summer long. As you know, I can't really get into it, but... You've been a great supporter of me and us, and Jay and I really appreciate it.
Let's just hope we can do this for a long time, guys.
Happy New Year, Andrew.
Hey, you too, guys.
Thanks a lot.
Hey, buddy.
Let's take a little break, Jimmy. This is the Kaufman Show.
Ugh.
Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar, groaning Jay Farrar. What was that?
I don't know. I'm pissed off. Whatever.
At who?
Huh? I don't know. At everybody.
Okay. Well, for me, the Escobar thing's the biggest thing. Look, the lockout pisses me off, but I'm telling you, when I spoke to Bettman in Times Square in April, I knew it was coming.
And by the way, Andrew's right. It does affect the pub in a lot of ways, but there's no way that we can rely just on hockey in order to survive.
Obviously not. Obviously not. It goes deeper than that.
That's right.
But, you know, nothing wrong with going downtown and... going to some bars and going to some restaurants and parking.
Don't go to the game. Come see us.
Parking your car in a parking lot.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's not turn this into a specific commercial for one specific place.
Right.
I think that the idea is that we want to support all of our merchant communities.
Everybody.
Everybody. And whether you're affected by lockout or student strike, pestilence or famine, we're going to go.
Industry.
Keep hanging out.
Industry.
That's right. That's right.
The little man, blue collar, baby.
But you know what, Jay? We have a lot of fans in the on Crescent, on Bishop, on Peel.
Yes.
A lot of bartenders, a lot of waiters and waitresses, a lot of managers. And, you know, we appreciate it. We really appreciate it. So, we'll keep doing it even if there aren't any Habs. And frankly, we might even have more fun. So depressing last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Terrible. 2 years of high draft picks would be nothing but good for the Montreal Canadiens. Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar. The latest news on this developing story about Blue Jay shortstop Yunel Escobar is that MLB has taken hold of the video and photographs, and they are investigating the story.
Huh.
So there will be a press conference tomorrow afternoon. Escobar should be attending. Anthopoulos and Farrell will both be there. They said that they expect Escobar to be available for the media as well. Jays are in New York right now, so... you know that the world's media will be there for this. And, man, when I saw it, I I got to say, man, I was, all I could think was that he's representing our country. And I know that's overblown, but my mind really went
there. That is way overblown. Way.
So put me in my place.
Well, I don't want to put you in your place. You're a nice guy. But now, I don't speak Spanish. I cannot tell you the actual definition of the word. Even in English, unfortunately, the word faggot can be interpreted in different ways.
Okay, this was not a, he was not referring to a bundle of sticks, okay?
No. That's not what I'm talking
about. If I had your and on one eye black and faggot on the other one.
Yeah.
Right now, sitting here talking to you.
Yeah.
I think you'd be a little bit distracted.
I'd be confused. That's for
probably,
sure.
Probably, no?
Yeah. Now, I'm not, obviously, I'm not defending this in any way, but there's a context.
Okay, there's a difference between maliciousness
right.
and stupidity.
And stupid. This is obviously a case of stupidity, ignorance, and it's either that or he was the victim of a very bad joke when he passed out drunk last night. You know, it's the kind of guys who draw penises on your face when you're passed out, but I don't think that that's really what happened. I think he... I mean, I don't know. I don't know if he's a homophobe or anything
like
that.
Well, let's assume that no matter what the truth is, the story we're getting tomorrow is this was a childish prank, and this is
exactly
a thing that people call each other,
right.
And I now realize the magnitude of the situation, and I will never do something like this again.
Right.
And from here on out, I stand with the gay community, and I support them, and we've gotten in touch with You Can Play. And on and on and on and on. And whether it's true or not, I'm pretty sure that's exactly what we're going to hear tomorrow.
Hopefully. Why not? That's a good thing in either way.
Sure.
You know?
But at the end of the day, this is probably about stupidity.
Yes.
It's probably about...
Easily.
25-year-old kid.
He's not up there making some sort of homophobic stance. You know, he's not up there, you know... He's not doing his own little manif against homosexuals. He's obviously stupid. I mean, it's so clear, you know. And you can't take things. I mean, we don't. It's dumb. It's a dumb thing to do. But again, I mean, it's also the context of the Spanish language. Does it mean sissy? Does it mean a weakling? Something like that? Because, you know. And
yeah, but even
it's an
sissy,
awful.
I haven't heard the word sissy used to describe it yet. I've heard the one that goes before cat, which is more offensive than sissy.
Right.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
And to the point that I'm going out of my way to not say it right now.
Okay.
So.
See, these words for me don't bother
me. I know
they
all roll off your back, right?
They don't bother me at all.
Okay.
They don't bother me at all, depending on who is using them and how they're using them. Now, clearly, Escobar is no George Carlin. He's not going out there and trying to make a point by using this word in context.
No.
He clearly means something by this, or just thought it was some funny crap to put on his face during the game, which is not funny at all, because you're not making any kind of a statement. I mean, it's clear.
Well, right. There. I mean, I just don't see what good, what he was possibly thinking.
Nothing.
And the hope
Nothing.
Now is that some good can come out of it. But only in retrospect, after such a bad thing. And frankly, if I was a Toronto Blue Jays fan, I would just be like, okay, what next? What next? How does this get any worse? The pitching coach was injured this week. Foul ball.
I'm not laughing, but I'm laughing.
You're
you
laughing.
Know what I mean.
You're laughing.
You know
laughing
what I mean.
So hard that your baseball hat just hit the microphone.
I'm just thinking about, I don't know, Vlad throwing his bat at Lasorda and falling, but something like fluky and completely out of the ordinary happening.
I think
to
it was a bat flew into the dugout. It was either a bat or a foul ball.
Was he?
Well,
what
sure.
happened to him? Was he badly hurt?
Oh, I know he left the game.
Okay,
I'm not sure what happened from there on out. But I mean, just think about how decimated that pitching staff has been all season long, and
right.
they lose the pitching coach. It's just. I don't know.
I feel
bad for Alex Anthopoulos.
You get a stupidity like this, and I don't know what Escobar was thinking. Maybe they weren't watching. But we, ladies and gentlemen, please, you have to understand, do not give this much power to words. Don't do it. Don't do it because it's destructive to everybody. He was stupid. It was a dumb thing to do, and I don't think he even realized the significance to some people
like
that
said,
this
Jay,
stuff on his face would have.
Well, that's the thing, and let good come out of it.
Yeah, and they will.
Let
it will.
This be a teachable lesson for Major League Baseball.
I love people who get exposed. Something always good comes out of it.
And let's assume that he's not as big an idiot as he came across. And may he have a long and fruitful career. And you know, teachable lessons, right?
Sure.
Roberto Alomar is a great example of that. We all think good thoughts now when we think of Robbie Alomar. He's a Hall of Famer. He's done more for the charity with Hirschbeck's Child than anybody else.
Yeah. I always think of DeJuan with McCain Punch. That's the only thing I think of Roberto Alomar.
See, and I remember it en français. Le Punch McCain. This is the Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar. Great to be back here at night. Bring your sweet loving. Bring it on home.
You don't knock, just walk on in. The door, heaven is. There's love, joy for you to share. To share the holy loop. I know my friends are there. To rest, heaven is. You don't knock, strain, push a hole. Doors wide open, waiting for you, so you don't knock. You just walk on in.
Starting to make me sad, Jay.
Why?
It means it's over. I don't want to wait till next week, although I think we've got a real good one in store for you next week. I haven't even told you about it.
No? Why are you holding out on me, Kaufman?
Let's just say there's going to be some light reading for you.
All right.
This week. Hoping to have one of my favorite authors on the show next week. We've had Juno Award winners, politicians, award-winning actors, hell, even award-winning actors hosting the show. Help me out. What else? We got an EGOT, Emmy, Grammy, Tony, Oscar. Anybody else?
We don't have a Tony Award winner.
I don't think so.
No Academy Award winner either.
We will have a Tony Award winner on, though, because I have a friend who's a Broadway producer.
Excellent.
So the next time he's in town, we'll make sure that happens.
The only show in the world that equate a Tony Award winner with some sort of sports angle.
Well, We can make that leap, my friend.
Yeah.
Why not?
Why not?
Sports happen in New York.
It's what we do.
Plays are in New York. Things happen on Broadway. Joe Namath. There we go. There's the segue.
Yes.
Let's go to the phones. You will be our last caller of the night. And another familiar face or voice, for that matter. I don't know what he looks like. Mike from St. Leonard. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, guys. How are you?
Great.
Long time no speak.
I know. Nice to hear your voice.
Yeah, it's good. You guys are back on late. I'm usually just listening to your podcast at this time, but now I can listen to you live, so
cool.
I can actually call in.
Good stuff.
The point that you guys just made, Jay, is absolutely right. Words have so much meaning. I wish we could ignore words and just let it roll off our back, but unfortunately, it's not the way things roll. And, you know, stupidity is a great way out. But unfortunately, that kind of behavior, when you see it in other people, usually it just doesn't come from nowhere, you know? And so apologies are nice and a public statement is nice, but the root of it doesn't always change. And that takes generations of thinking and learning and not tolerance, but acceptance.
You have to be taught to hate, though.
Yeah,
that's exactly what it keeps coming down to. And, you know,
and you need to be educated real well not to hate.
So. And that's one of the problems that I'm saying. We haven't arrived at the point in our society where we can't let some of these stupid 19th century Victorian words get to us. I mean, and that's one of the reasons why, I won't say it, but the N-word and these words are used so often. It's to take away the power of the word, because we put too much emphasis on just words. And sometimes we take it a little too seriously. But what I was saying is that Escobar is not coming from this point of view. He's not trying to make a point by this. He's just using these words.
It was ignorance.
Right. He's using it in the wrong way. Right. That's the problem.
Right.
Exactly. Just on another note, I know you guys were talking about the newsroom during the podcast season.
Yeah, huge fan of that show.
You know what? I'm right in between you and Jay. Like, I understand, Dave, I'm hooked. I have to watch it. But Jay is absolutely right. It is the most pretentious, over-the-top, ridiculous show. I've ever seen. The characterization of women in the show is obscene.
Do you find?
It's ridiculous. You know, one's like a manic crazy woman. The other one's a cheater.
No, they're all manic. That's what the problem is.
Jane Fonda's like a ruthless, you know what? I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, can he just throw one woman in there who's not going to throw under the bus?
He's got her stuff together.
To be fair, Mike, aren't all the guys in that show crazy too?
They're neurotic and insane.
Right. I mean, so doesn't that say something about people in journalism more than it says about women or men?
Well, this is it. I mean, you would have better ideas. This is an actual reflection. I mean, is even 10% of this even true? I mean, I watch it. It's fun. It's entertaining. Sometimes you just want to get inside of that studio and punch some people in the face.
Exactly. I'm so tired of these. How would you like to go into work every day and have a bunch of Woody Allens and Glenn Close from Fatal Attraction around you at all times, who are able to speak with such grace and poetry?
Yeah.
I'd say, you know, dude, shut up and speak like a human, will you?
I call it liberal journalism pornography.
Well, yeah.
And for that reason, I watch it alone.
Well, the tie-ins with all the historical stuff that's gone on in the last couple of years is absolutely beautiful.
Sure.
I mean, that writing is just spot on.
Sure, but now it's like you'd like to see one that takes place a year even further down the road and see how they handle the Bin Laden story after all the info that's come out since.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, that part of it's great, but the characters don't have to be this way for us to enjoy it. I mean,
no, but it's got to be done that way so that people will watch it, right? I think most people
care. It makes me not want to watch it.
I know, Jay, but you're not most people.
I know. That is so clear.
You are not most
people.
That
is so clear.
Right. But the average Joe and what drives ratings. What's the most popular show on TV? Is it 2.5 Men or CSI Miami?
Yeah.
Like what
brilliant
piece of garbage drivel is the number one show on TV? So the way I look at the newsroom is that the newsroom has to make certain concessions in order for it to do what it wants to do. And
it,
to uphold
it doesn't,
the
though.
Standards.
It's on HBO. It doesn't have to make any kind of concessions. No other HBO show does. Why does it have to make a concession? Because it's what's his name, Sorkin, and he's usually involved in network television.
Perhaps. But that's my.
I get what you're saying.
That's
though.
My rationale.
I understand what you're saying.
That's
yeah.
To me, that's what makes sense. Mike, I want to thank you so much for calling. We
guys.
Appreciate it. And yeah, keep in touch, man. Don't
always
be a stranger.
Always entertaining, guys.
Thank you very much.
Evening.
Thank you. Jimmy, I think we got to cue that music up.
Good calls tonight, man.
Yeah. Thank you all so much.
Yeah.
Really.
I love our callers tonight.
Me too.
Great stuff.
I love our callers. Period. I believe that all of them have called in before.
Especially when they agree with me.
For Mitch in Chamonix, who I hope we hear from again, because it was a pleasure talking to
him. He was in Chamonix?
He was.
Oh, that's one of my people. I love that.
Nick Mavronaris. Can I try it like you?
Mavromaris. Mavromaros. Is it OS or IS?
IS.
What? Speak
no,
up, Kaufman. It's an AS?
Mavromaras.
Mavromaras. Dude, Jimmy, you're Greek. You say it.
Mavromaras.
There you go.
You pronounce it just the same way I did.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Nikos Mavromaras.
Very good, Kaufman. That was good. Dave Kaufman.
Why am I from New York?
You're Kaufman. Because Kaufman is a great New York name.
Wow. Well, that's show number one on TSN 690 in the books, Mr. Farrar.
Excellent.
Yes.
That was fun.
Yeah, it was. It was a very festive, happy New Year. As always, a pleasure to spend the high holidays with all of you.
I like this
we
song.
We voted for Psy 2 weeks ago. All right, so let's shut up and listen to it.
All right.
I shot the shit with miniature Tim. If he needs a tune, then I'll write one for him. We like the same books and we like the same sounds. There's a reason that I love this town. I played a show in Kelowna last year. Said, pick it up, Joel. We're dying in here. Picture one hand clapping, then picture half that sound. There's a reason that I hate that town. If you saw fun.
chased down and I sued some French restaurant. I saw Riviera de Loup last night at a tour. We burnt the place to the ground. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love this town.
You've been listening to The Kaufman Show. For Jay Farrar, I'm Dave Kaufman, and we'll be back next week.
I don't know.
Nailed it, Farrar.
What'd that sound like?